Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back in here along with my partner, Bo Matthews, and producer, Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
And you hear me talk a lot about the Range St. Louis West. Of course, they are big supporters of my radio show, and I appreciate that. I love going out there. I'm a member, and I'm out there quite often. In fact, they just had their customer appreciation days, and the place was packed. There were a lot of people in there buying guns for the first time. I walked up to the counter and listened in a little bit, Bo, and listened to some of the conversations. And, you know, there were people asking basic questions. What gun can I use for concealed carry? I'm concerned about security. And I love that. And there was a huge turnout on that Saturday. And you got to think that maybe that's a feeling people are having all across the country. One thing they do at the range that I love is that they invite guests in who are experts on the Second Amendment, who promote, you protecting your family and yourself. And they've got one coming up on October 25th at 6 p.m. And it's titled Black Guns Matter, presented by Maj Touré. Yeah, he's going to be here in St. Louis. You can RSVP for it right now. And we're lucky enough to have him as a guest here on Second Amendment Radio. Maj, welcome in.
Hey, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Excited to have you coming to St. Louis.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. My apologies, guys. There was a so ironic, man. We're talking about these classes. I just was in a scenario where I literally had to get out of the vehicle and present my tourniquet for someone that was bleeding out. And so saying all of this to say my apologies for the lateness. The guy's going to apparently be okay. EMS got on the scene, so that's a part of my lateness here. But, yeah, the classes are key, and that ties into it. We have to make sure that we're learning the things that are important. We can learn how to defend self. We can learn how to preserve life. We can learn about the Second Amendment. We can learn why that's important. And putting these classes together over in St. Louis, where at, you know, certain sections of St. Louis get a little rough, I think the people will be benefit greatly from it, and it's free to all who want to sign up.
Yeah, it sounds great. You know, just for background purposes, Madge, tell people a little bit about your background. What brought you to where you are today? Because I know you either were or are a hip hop artist right there in the Philadelphia area.
Yeah, being in Philly, you know, you're younger, you go to certain places. I used to go to places and take tours of spots because I was looking for different clothes. Everybody in the community wears the same clothes. So I would just find myself winding down to like what I now know is Old City. And you would see all of these different tours. You would see the history. You would see Independence Hall. And a lot of times people don't take advantage of those things that they're in those cities, right? So people that are in Boston may not know all of the rich history. So I should just start taking tours of all of these things, and just my information base continued to expand. Then when I was making music, I would recognize that, you know, I would develop a relationship with somebody, and then I would come back and they had a gun possession charge, and I would be in Detroit or L.A. and Chicago. And it would be the same story. And it would be like, hey, we can come up with some answers to this, not only to empower the people to exercise their Second Amendment rights safely and responsibly, but also galvanize those people to overturn some of those unconstitutional statutes in their cities and states. And so we started Black Guns Matter. It was initially was going to be a one event thing. And we had an event in Philadelphia, and we thought maybe 30 or 40 people would show up, man. 300 people showed up.
Wow.
We fed everybody. It was a great time. And then those folks just started saying, hey, some of those people came from Jersey, Brooklyn, all over the place. So we decided to do a little tour. And then we just said, hey, if we fundraise for it, we'll keep it free to everybody. We'll keep the classes going. And it just kept snowballing. We would hit a goal, and people would say, yo, you got to keep going. And so it snowballed into something beautiful that so many people from demographics that usually aren't in the Second Amendment conversation, you know, leftist media tends to do that. And seeing the shift now, I heard you say earlier, you know, seeing all of those beginners, those people asking those questions at the gun shop, at the range, I'm just proud to say we had a little bit of a hand in that. And we are excited to keep that hand in that pot, stirring up some good stuff for, you know, the whole liberty movement.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Now, I know that your focus is to educate people of all races. Did it start in the Black community specifically for you, based on your experience?
Absolutely. Primarily because, you know, when you do, like, gun control was literally started to stop Black people from having the means to defend themselves. I mean, we're talking about the black codes. We're talking about the slave codes. We're talking about, you can fast forward all the way up to, you know, 1968's Gun Control Act was literally because of the Black Panthers. I mean, there's a rich history. There's a story, excuse me, there's a book by Nicholas Johnson called Negroes and the Gun that goes over a lot of these stories. And so the gun control itself was started to make sure that black people in America, even while saying, you know, this is a human right, the state and local and even sometimes national legislation has been to make sure that these folks didn't have the firearms or, excuse me, have the means to defend themselves with firearms. Saying all of that to say, when you want to see growth, you go to the area that's been neglected the most. So because of that factual history, and this doesn't mean that everything in America is racist, it just means gun control is, and other things, but not everything that everybody says is. My point is, when you want to fix this thing, you got to go to the area that needs the most help. So the conversation around the Second Amendment, the conversation around safe and responsible gun ownership, that needed to happen mostly in black America because of these archaic, draconian, unconstitutional statutes that were targeting these communities. So we just focused there, and it started to bring so many people together from other communities that were like, man, you know, let's say if a guy happens to be white and he's like, yo, I love what you're doing. How can I get behind it? How can I support it? Because Second Amendment folks know that Second Amendment isn't about color. Gun control is about color, absolutely, right, and control and power, you know. But Second Amendment folks were like, yo, I didn't know how to reach a community. I didn't know, because of how the leftist narrative paints every white dude, you're definitely racist, right? They would say, like, listen, I'm happy to support because you're in a community or communities that I may not be a part of or I may have moved from, but I don't know if I'll be received the same way. So I'll support this way. Or, hey, what do you need me to do to help and just be at a hand on? And then those beginners come into it seeing that the Second Amendment community is the diversity that leftist media says they want for our communities. And so then you can't, you know, the propaganda can't work on that group of people that way. So really that's how it started. But it was always to solve the bigger problem of the racist practice of gun control in America.
Mavs, this is a Beau. And a question, when you created the phrase Black Guns Matter, did you get pushback from Black Lives Matter at all? Just curious.
Absolutely not, for several reasons. One, I knew that the organization, like the corporate structure, was not the real deal. I knew that. Everybody in the hood knew that way or early on, right? But the concept of it coming out of the Ferguson movement and saying, hey, we have a problem with law enforcement officers. It seemed like and again, I think that was a media push as well, right? But it didn't change the fact that during those years, there was like a lot of people getting shot by police, which spoke to the need for training, which spoke to the need for conflict resolution and all of that. But me knowing that the phrase itself, I mean, white people will agree with that, like Black Lives do matter. And it's the purpose of, it was a catchy, in-your-face slogan that said, hey, we're dealing with some more specific Americans that happen to be black Americans are getting gunned down by some police. And we want to bring some height to that. And everyone agrees with solving that. No one's okay with police harming or killing any American.
Right.
So that part, everybody agrees with. The problem was the corporate structure that got around it co-opted it and turned it into something else that turned into destruction of the nuclear family, all of this other stuff. So saying all of this to say, they knew that I was the real deal. They knew where I was going and they know what we about. So we actually are in these communities doing this work. And so they smarted into, you know, like give us any pushback. Like we're right. Very public with our locations. And as you know, you're kind of foolish to go try to bother people that are doing legitimate education and community work. And those people happen to be armed. So
that's true.
We don't get that type of pushback. We don't get the angry protesters and all of that. And if they did show up and if they wanted to have a conversation, I'd welcome them. They're Americans, too. They just got some bad intel. But I'd welcome them in with open arms and we'd have a discussion.
Okay, real quick, we're talking about branding. So the email that I received with your picture on it, your shirt said, "Make the hood great again." Did you get any pushback on that?
No, most people in hoods across America agree with that. When we see there were there were over four, everyone's, a lot of people are familiar with Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, right?
Right.
There were over 40 of those cities in America where black people in those hoods, and the hood is short for neighborhood or community, where those hoods were. Now, again, I want to be clear. Some of those were destroyed by, you know, maybe lily white conservatives that were bigots. Bigots exist. And that's a thing that exists. However, over those 40 cities, those were people making those hoods great. When you, even if you talk about Philadelphia, where I'm from, before government became involved and overtaxed certain companies, Philadelphia was heavy in the textile and manufacturing factory situation. But when those jobs in Chicago, in Detroit, in Philadelphia left because of government overreach and intervention, the jobs and the money and those, you know, those things started to dry up a bit. My point in saying that is, even in the 60s, 70s, 80s, there was still a certain level of our neighborhood, our community, and when there has been throughout history, if we're talking more specifically about black communities, there has been a conservative, a thoroughly conservative element to black communities. The Cosby Show is a black conservative family. And so everyone, you know, at that time, Bill Cosby was America's dad, right? Because of those conservative family values. So when people see me saying make the hood great again, it's hard work. It's consistency. It's the Constitution. It's liberty. It's that Cosby Show. We're going to take care of our situation. We're going to have a cultural understanding, but we're also going to be solid Americans. And I think when people see that, they understand. So there's no pushback. And as you can see right now, even if people only identified it with Trump, right? You see black people all across America going, I'm going Trump, baby.
Yeah.
I got like that.
I've seen the polls that certainly indicate a much greater percentage. He may get a much greater percentage, at least of the black male vote this time around than he's gotten in the past. So I'm interested to pick your brain on that for a minute. I got a soundbite I want to play if I can get our producer Carl to pull it up here. This was a bite that they found from Kamala Harris that should be, I think, disturbing to everybody who is a supporter of the Second Amendment. Now, this was from back when she still lived in California, and they were trying to pass some sort of gun safety law out there. Go ahead and play it, Carl.
Responsible behaviors among everybody in the community, and just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affairs.
I mean, I'm hearing a woman who wants to be president of the United States endorsing police or authorities coming into your locked home to make sure that your gun is stored safely. That's what I'm hearing there. I don't know about you.
That's 100% what it is, and it's twofold. One, there's two things that conservatives or Republicans or libertarians or independents and Democrats have to think about here. One, the job of a president, head of the executive branch, is three jobs. Defend the borders, command the armed forces, and defend the Constitution. She does not have respect from the armed forces, so you're off there. You have, your administration has already sued Texas for defending its own borders, so you failed at that part. And the third is defend the Constitution. That conversation she just had right there is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, an attempt to be disrespectful to the Second Amendment. So you're already unqualified, and people need to communicate it that way. They need to say, this job has these requirements, and she's failed already in her political career, as while she's in the White House right now. She's failed at these. We don't have to talk about her playing around with accents. We can just say this is the job, and she's failed at all three of the jobs. Okay.
Yeah.
Then the other thing that we have to, more right of center, have to ask, or liberty minded folks have to ask, is a few years ago, law enforcement officers were arresting people, church parishioners, and things of that nature during 2020, 2021 for gathering.
Mm-hmm.
These are the same people that we want to get behind and say we back the blue. But when it's talking about confiscation and violating the Constitution, we have to evaluate how hard we're saying that statement. Because, again, we remember in 2021, police officers arresting church going people for worshiping in their own of their own volition. So if a Kamala Harris and or whoever else, because at that time Trump was the president, if they're just going to do that job of violating your human rights as codified in the Constitution and Bill of Rights, you have to ask your unwavering attachment to them if they're just going to do the bidding of politicians that are supporting unconstitutional statutes. These are the hard questions that we have to ask ourselves. We teach a civics class every week. Mondays, we have a civics class, an online class, because we can't just go, the left is going absolutely no police, and we just go, give the police everything. Because if you go extreme on either one of those sides, when you look at someone like a Kamala Harris, and if that person does become the president of the United States, we're not being critical of the law enforcement that has to execute that order. And because she's not going to do it.
Yeah.
So we have to be honest about that balanced approach and how we look at this through a civic standpoint. The Constitution and the defense of it is our North Star. And if we're not following the North Star, we have to challenge ourselves to where we're not, because she's definitely okay with sending armed agents of the state to violate your home. She's literally telling you this.
Yeah.
The bigger conversation that we have to have as conservatives or constitutionalists or whatever is, hey, are we being in alignment with the Constitution, or are we just pushing back against extreme leftists, creating another extreme, which is imbalanced?
Right. It feels like it's just chipping away, chipping away. You know, so what I understand about your class that you're going to be teaching at the Range St. Louis West, which I think is very cool, you are on this big tour and you are training people. You're giving them the essential knowledge, skills, but also information about being responsible firearm ownership. And it sounds like you are definitely the guy to share that information. What can people expect from your class on Friday, October 25th from, 6 to 8:30?
Yeah, it can be. It's going to be obviously firearm safety basics. I judge a beginner not by how well they can shoot. I judge them by how safe and responsibly they can handle and manipulate that weapon or that firearm. So that's one, obviously, the safety component. We're going to go into a little bit of civics, a little bit of history. We're going to have a uncomfortable cultural conversation on both sides. And I say both sides because black and white are different ends of the same spectrum. We're all American. But we have to acknowledge the racist practice of gun control, not because we're just going like, oh, you just racist because you supported Trump. No, it's this systemic policy that has targeted this community is a legitimate thing that we have to work together to overthrow. So that cultural conversation has to happen as well. And we're going to make sure that we do that while informing the people. If you come to this class, you knowing nothing, you will leave with a lot. And your view of the Second Amendment, the Constitution, and our ability to defend ourselves, you'll leave with a solid understanding of that. And you're going to be on a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So you might as well just prepare yourself. But, yeah, that's that entry level, get you to an intermediate, and that's what they can expect.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Maj Ture, you can take that class. You can sign up for it. You just have to RSVP. It's going to be at the Range St. Louis West out in Baldwin coming up on October 25th at 6 p.m. Maj, thanks for giving us some time today, and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Listen, look quickly. If anybody wants to support, givesendgo.com/solutionary. These classes happen because of your voluntary donations. givesendgo.com/solutionary.
Yes, sir. Hope to talk again soon. We appreciate having you on. Absolutely. All right. Coming up on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, it's hunting season, baby. At least it's close. I mean, people
really
are already
close
out there bow hunting right now.
It's archery season now.
People are bow hunting right now. I'm a gun hunter, personally, when I can hit something. We're going to delve into that coming up here in a few minutes.
The bumper of your truck. It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews alongside Mark Cox and Carl Middleman, our executive producer extraordinaire.
Thank you.
And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are in De Pere on Manchester Road. If you haven't been in, I encourage you to do that, especially if you want to suppress a firearm or you're shopping or you need accessories or just a good conversation about guns. Go to Razorback Armory and tell them Bo sent you. All right, so I sometimes will go to LinkedIn to find people that I'm going to talk to see, hey, what are they doing there? Tim Chelsvik, is this correct? Have you been upgraded from editor-in-chief of DeerCast, or is that your current title?
Are we on the air right now?
Yeah. is it incorrect?
It makes a difference. So I actually run
all of the outdoor apps for GSM Outdoors. So that is DeerCast, but it's also the Command app that runs all of our stealth and muddy cell cameras, the HuntSmart app that runs all the Wild Game Innovation cell cameras, HuntStand and Walkers Link that runs all of our Walkers ear protective equipment, and a whole lot more. So, yeah, things are moving pretty fast, but I'm still hunting on the Drury Outdoors TV show, Winchester and Drury's Natural Born, and still co-hosting the 100% Wild podcast with Matt Drury. I just add things to my job description, I guess. I never can get rid of anything.
So do you have a title at all? Tim, do you have a title at all?
Yeah, Chief Cook and
Does
Bottle
anyone
Washer,
really
it
have a
like.
Title? I like the bottle washer thing. Yeah, just any and all jobs that need to be done, they just kind of find their way to my desk.
Okay, well, your LinkedIn has expired then. It says Tim hasn't posted yet, so forget about that. Anyway, welcome back to the show, buddy. How are you?
Me, Bo. I'm great. I'm great, man. How about, hey, I was going through some old pictures last night, and the picture of you and me in my little podcast studio popped up with you holding my cassette tape of Alabama, The Closer You Get.
Attaboy. Yeah, that was good stuff. That was good stuff. Hope the family is good. And I'm sure you're excited. I don't know if you heard, but I did hunt with Ted Nugent over the summer. Not that we're going to talk about that again. That'll bore everybody to death. But I just want to let you know, I added something to my resume that you might be interested in finding out about.
I knew about that, and I don't think you're going to bore anybody. That's also a pun, by the way, right? Because you took a
boar,
pig, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Rim shot right there.
So talk about what's going on for deer hunters.
Well, archery season is in full swing on the Missouri side. It opened up on September 15th, and it's been pretty warm. This cold snap that we're getting this week is really getting the deer moving. Like, if you look at the DeerCast forecast, you'll see that it's starting to tick up and show some better ratings. The rain has been nice because a lot of guys that put in fall food plots were really doing their rain dances there in late August and early September because it got so dry and so hot for so long. So the rain has been good. But I don't know. My camera has really started pinging. My cell camera started pinging this morning with some bucks that are finally up and on their feet. So it's great to see that because it's like, okay, it's game on now. I'm going to start logging some serious time in the deer stand.
Yeah, you know, that it's interesting because you're so involved in the technology of this. Tim, I'd love to pick your brain on it. I'll use my brother-in-law, for example. He's got a piece of property, and he's got the deer cameras scattered across it in different places. We know all the locations and everything. And in some of them, they're wireless, and he actually gets them on his phone. Others, he has to physically go out and get a card to bring those in. Is there an app or technology that where you can, if you've got the wireless trail cameras, you can bring them all together on one app to kind of tell you what's going on?
The best app for that is one of the apps that I run, and that's the Command Pro app, because that brings in, if you have a stealth cam or if you have a muddy branded camera, both of those brands will come in. And then we just launched the Revolver 360 camera this past summer. So literally you can put it in the middle of your food plot or a field, and it will take pictures in 360 degrees. Like, it'll give you the entirety of whatever is on that field, and it's a cell camera. So it all comes right to your phone.
Oh, that's great.
And look, yeah, I want to know, you know, because some, I don't know, cellular-based cams or the cellular communicating cams, most of them that I've had experience with are simply just still photos. Talk about the technology you've got, because it sounds like you've got video.
Yeah. Video is starting to become just a feature that people expect. Although I will say, and I've seen the statistics behind this, pretty much people are, they just want pictures. They just want pictures because they just want to verify this deer is out there, this animal is out there. They want to get a good look at them. And usually,
most cellcam apps and Command and HuntSmart are no different. They allow you to get kind of a low resolution preview image, but then if you want to really zoom in and see like how many points does that buck have, you can request an HD download. And even our cameras now, they come equipped with on demand. So even if nothing, like if you're heading to the blind and you want to make sure nothing's in the field, and maybe, you know, something might be farther out than the passive infrared sensor can pick up, you just hit on demand and it'll trigger that camera to take a picture.
Wow.
Regardless.
Ooh,
and it'll send
nice.
It right back to your phone, and you can see, hey, is the coast clear for me to enter my stand, or do I need to wait a little bit until the field clears out? So a lot of neat things that are really helping guys be more successful, but they're still not going to kill the deer for you. That's still completely in your hands. I mean, I know guys that have 40, 50 cameras, and it's still not easy to kill these things. They're good at living.
Kind of frustrating because, you know, I've noticed that before in my brother-in-law's cameras. He sent me a picture the other day of a couple of what appeared to be young bucks kind of going at it with each other with their racks. Mm-hmm. And they were fighting each other, and you know, it's exciting. We know exactly where that picture was taken, but when I go out and sit in that stand, I never see those deer. So I told him we got to get this worked out this year.
Yeah, you know what? One of the things that we just launched on the Command Pro app is a photo tracker. So you can go in and you can filter your photos. Like, I want to see which cameras are the most active by time of day. So between 6:30 a.m. and 8:30 a.m., which are my hottest cameras? Or which are my most active cameras based on wind direction? There's a lot of ways that you can do that to help pattern those deer. There's also a lot of, this deer hasn't shown up for 4 or 5 days at this camera. He might be due to show up now because it's rare to get a deer on multiple consecutive days doing anything because they change as the phases of the deer season move on. And so sometimes absence is it's intel, you know, it tells you, hey, he's not been here in a while. He may be due to come back through. So maybe even though he hasn't been on his camera for a week, maybe it's time I sit in that stand and see if he comes by.
So no information is still information is what you're saying. I'll ask this for Mark, Tim Chelsvik, our guest. And the question that I have for Mark, do you have a bumper mount for those cameras for his pickup truck as he makes his way into work? Oh, I cracked myself up.
Mark's driving through some high deer density areas.
You're killing me, Bo.
Does your new house have any more or less deer?
Less.
Really?
So far,
farther
west. I moved from Wildwood out to St. Charles County, and you know, not down off of 94 south near Augusta or anything, further north towards St. Charles, and I have not seen hardly any deer so far on my way to work. Like, I'm not on back roads for as long. I'm closer to the interstate now. That's probably got something to do with it. Yeah.
But so I mean, it is a good point. People do need to be careful as we get further into fall, a deer are just going to move more and more. And how many times have we heard someone say that they saw a deer run across the road and they were relieved that they didn't hit it, but then another deer came up? Because a lot of times, especially as we get closer to the rut, a doe will run out, but a buck is chasing her. And so people will think, the initial danger has passed, but then they've got another, or a fawn or a yearling is trailing that doe. And so it's never the one that crosses the road cleanly that you got to watch out for. It's the one that's still waiting on the side that they originated from.
Tim, you're primarily an archery hunter, right? Are you using guns this year at all or no?
I might get the 350 Legend out for the kids to do some rifle hunting, but yeah, I really love bow hunting. I've got nothing against firearms hunting, but I just really love the process, of getting really close and the shot sequence and all that. So yeah, very much an archery hunter.
Yeah, that's good. I think we're going to turn bow into an archery hunter. Aren't you?
Well,
isn't there a
have you ever
bow?
Done it? I own the company. Are you as far as you know. Mark, have you ever tried archery deer hunting? Maybe you'd have luck with that.
I have not. The closest I've come is sitting in a deer stand with a crossbow, which is a whole lot more like a rifle, and I didn't even get a chance to get a shot at anything, so I don't know how effective I would have been with that.
Well, I don't know. It's patience, of course, but yeah, I've looked into crossbows too. I got a buddy that's that I went the hog hunting. He got a ram with his bow. But the thing is, that's his preferred. He would rather because it's more stealthy, it's quieter. You know, I don't know. There's you know, goods and bads for both, I'm sure.
Yeah, and there's room for all of us in the hunting community. There's enough. There's enough divisiveness in all other aspects of our life. We don't need to start parsing out who the real hunters are and who they aren't based on method. Like, you just do whatever is legal and ethical, and we're good.
Well, thank you for pointing that out, since I'll stick to my gun, I think, for sure. So just for historical context here, Tim, you mentioned the weather. We got the warm streak, and now it's cooling off just a little bit. Has that been that unusual? I mean, for bow hunters, obviously, your season starts a lot earlier than it does for people who are going to be hunting in gun season, which is usually around Thanksgiving or just after. So, How does that, has that changed this year? I mean, have you seen a change in the weather that's unique this year?
Not really. We always end up with a really hot, dry spell at the end of August and into September. It never fails. And it's the thing, like, you ask anyone that's tried to plant fall food plots with any kind of regularity, and they will tell you they get their seed in the ground and they start praying, because you can just pretty much bet the summer rains are going to dry up and it's going to get hot and dry. So that's kind of always the case. The question is typically like, when will the full moon land as it relates to the September 15th opener and how that impacts deer movement, and what's the barometer looking like, and what's cloud cover going to look like, and all those things. And that's partially why we came up with DeerCast, to help single source all those factors that impact deer movement and put it into one place, so people can make better and more informed decisions on how they're going to spend their precious time in the field. Cause we're all, you know, trying to hunt between kids' soccer practice and work and all the other things we've got going on in life.
That's outstanding. Tim Chalzvik, our guest. Do we say from The Thinking Woodsman, Drury Outdoor? What's your title, dang it?
So my title is the product manager for GSM mobile apps.
Finally, so there we go.
All of our, but no one's going to remember that, and no one's probably going to care. They're just going to want to know, how do I kill my deer?
real quick, Tim, so there's a headline recently out that 10 million hunters and gun owners are not registered to vote. Do you guys on any of your platforms push that or get people to vote? I know it's hunting season at Election Day, and that's why a lot of people just don't pay attention. Do you guys do anything with that to encourage people to vote?
We opened our podcast up to back in 2020 to both presidential campaigns, and we and Donald Trump Jr. Accepted the offer. No one from the Biden administration accepted the offer, and so Donald Trump Jr. came on our show and pretty much just said, like, "Hey, hunters, because he's a big bow hunter and a very avid hunter himself." Like, we complain a lot, but the records show we don't show up on voting day, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
So that's about as far as we've, and we got tore up. My goodness, the hate emails that we got as a result of that. I was like, we tried to provide equal time. It's just no one from the Biden camp decided it was important enough to have a conversation with our audience.
Well, if you own a gun, please get out and vote November 5th. Tim Chalzvik, thank you again so much for joining us back on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, great having you, Tim. Appreciate that. And that's going to do it for us for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Hey, have a great weekend. We'll see you around next week.
See you, boys. It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Hope you're having a great weekend. Hey, Mark Cox is right here. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, Bo. How about you?
You know what? Hanging in there, loving the cool temperatures and trying to get stuff done outside. And this is the Great Outdoors portion of the show. But yeah, are you having to do a lot in your new digs outside?
You know, we've really lucked into something that already had a lot of great landscaping in place. So I haven't. My wife's been tried to nurse along some rose plants and some of the greenery in the backyard. But my main focus is making sure the grass doesn't get out of control. So
yeah,
it's key, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's great companies out there that can help you make that green. You know, I do know a lot of people that are trying to sneak in a couple more RV trips. Are you on that same boat? Are you going to be getting out there one more time?
We're planning on going over my daughter's fall break, which will be in mid-October, and nice. we're gonna maybe make a couple college visits and camp along the way. So.
Oh, that's genius. I wonder if people really think about doing it like that, because you're saving on hotels. A buddy of mine just moved from, he was like near Flagler Beach in Florida. He literally just moved like from a little condo a block and a half from the water into an RV, like an hour inland. And I'm like, dude, and he's a big boy too. He's a big boy. I'm like, dude, that to me would be claustrophobic. But RVs are getting bigger every day.
Well, hopefully he's safe during this hurricane that just blew through there. I know we're getting some of the rain from that up in the middle part of the country this weekend for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. People dream about it. You know, people dream. My wife asked me recently, where do you want to be in 5 years? I'm like, seeing the country in an RV. And she's like, you've never said that. I'm like, it's a dream. You know, have a dream.
Yeah. Well, you need to go talk to those folks at Byerly down there in Eureka, right? He fixed you right up. They're having sales all the time. I see the ads popping up on Facebook. We can get you fixed up, Bo. That's easy.
Dude, I need to figure out how to, you know, do the dump tanks. I don't get that part of it. But anyway, I know it's easy. I know it's easy. But yeah, it's anyway, switching gears. It has been crazy in the election cycle that's going on. You don't know what to believe. But I don't know.
I don't even know what to say. This election will maybe decide how long the Second Amendment stays around. I hate to be dramatic about it, but you have a very black and white issue option here. And you've got one side that supports the Second Amendment and the other side that pays lip service to it. And coming up, and we'll talk about this with our guest, Maj Touré, who we're going to have on. He's going to be in town. He's with a group called Black Guns Matter. He's giving a speech out at the range. And I'm going to talk to him about it a little bit, because we got sound with Kamala Harris from back in the mid-2000s here, 2015, something like that, saying that she would support armed police coming into your house of a law-abiding gun owner and searching your house to make sure your firearms are stored safely. And she wants gun registration, and she's supported banning handguns before in San Francisco. I mean, the choices are stark here. And
did we ever find out which firearm she owns? Because she claimed that her and Tim Walz were both gun owners. Is that right?
No. Well, she did claim that, but nobody has ever followed up with her and said, by the way, what is the model on that? What's it chambered in? How often have you been to the range? My guess is she doesn't know one end of a gun from the other.
You can't get a specific answer out of her for anything. She will tell you she grew up in a middle class home and her mom worked hard and she cut her grass like Mark Cox does.
Well, right? That's right. This event that's coming up at the range, by the way, is free, but you gotta register for it. And we're going to talk with Maj Touré. Interesting guy. Comes from a hip hop background in Philadelphia, and now he is a big Second Amendment rights a supporter, and he travels the country doing these classes. So I can't wait to get him on the phone here and find out what that's all about and what you can learn coming up a little later in October. I think it's October 25th. We'll get to all that straight ahead on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. The closer you get.